All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53:6.
Morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here on this wintry morning. A little white stuff on the ground, but we can get through it. We've been used to it. Probably have to put up with it until at least April this year. It was just a couple of weeks ago. A Russian scientist had predicted the snowstorm that New York had and all the snow that England was getting in Europe, and he says that we haven't seen anything yet this winter, so I don't know whether that's true or not. So I kind of hope it, and I know the skiers and other people, there are people out there that like snow, but I don't mind the snow. It's the ice that I can't stand and everything else. You know, but it is good to see you again. Where's Stephen? Stephen, you aren't drawing another picture of me, are you? Okay. All right. But we're 8 days into the new year, you know. And what's your concerns? What's your worries? You know, what are you looking forward to? How about your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ for this coming year? You know, we know that God is committed to ways that we can't even imagine and things that he's prepared for us. We just pray that we will be able to respond to those ways here now on this earth, and then in the future, that when we have eternal life and that with him and with our Savior, we know that we are trustworthy and we are in capable hands. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray once again that we have come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we come into thee to honor and praise thy holy name on this Sabbath day, Father, coming into your presence because we are your children. You love us and I need to respond in our love with thee. And we know that we need to obey. You have given us your word through the scripture, Father, and we pray that we will obey that and that we will truly be your children forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We know we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus at all times. We all know that. And as we start this new year, we need to focus more on what Jesus has done for us while he was on this earth and what he's accomplished in doing for us in heaven. And just to do that this year, and we can really, you know, come to a conclusion that we know that we can truly trust him. And we're going to turn to our Bibles today to Isaiah 56, the greatest of messianic prophecies in the whole Bible. And this prophecy was told over 600 years before it came to pass. And this is one of the highest, if not the highest, prophetic revelations about the suffering Messiah, the man of sorrow. Nowhere else in the Bible is it presented a clearer of Christ's victorious victory and his suffering that he suffered for each and every one of us. You know, it's an anticipated story of his suffering. And it was written in the 7th century B.C. And it's just as clear and vivid today as if it was just written today. Carlos Spurgeon, the acclaimed evangelist, said, "What a chapter, a miniature Bible, the gospel in its essence." We know that the inspiration and his power moves hearts, you know, is unmeasured, especially today, Father. And we know that Ellen White says that Satan diligently studied Isaiah's prophecies and the other prophecies in the Bible about the Messiah. And as he did study that, he was in fear, in apprehension. And then he decided to blind the people so that they could not see the relevance of all of these prophecies and the relevance of the Word of God. You know, and we know that he was mostly successful in doing that, trying to prevent us from understanding the sacrifice that Jesus made and not to give our hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God himself. And we know that we have many statements from Ellen White stating a lot of things. And she said, "Let the imagination grasp the scene of the life of Jesus, especially the final ones." And we should study his life, and especially those final days. of his time here on earth. This chapter should be studied. It presents Christ as the Lamb of God. The entire chapter should be committed to memory. Bible Commentary, page 4, page 1147. Anybody dares to put their hands up? Has anybody ever memorized this whole chapter? Huh? Anybody can? I let them come up here and read the words for me. So let's look at Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3, where Jesus is foretold. Isaiah 53, 1 through 3. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Ellen White speaks about that too. These words do not mean that Christ was unattractive in person. In the eyes of the Jews, Jesus has no beauty that they should desire him. They look for a Messiah who would come with outward display and worldly glory. And that's where they missed out on his coming. One who would do great things for the Jewish nation. In man's eyes, this is what they wanted, for him to come to work for the Jewish nation, exalting it above every other nation on earth. But Christ came with his divinity hidden by the garb of humanity, unobtrusive, humble, poor. And we know that that is done as we read the scriptures on that. So, you know, we see that as it's talking about these verses. A plant has a root that sustains it. And when the tree is cut to the root, a tender plant grows from that, and it flourishes from an apparently lifeless root. And if you're a farmer and a planter, you know these things. And then in Revelation 22:16, it says that Jesus is the root and the offspring. The root tells of his divinity. And we see that in there along with that, though. And the offspring tells of Bethlehem's baby. And the word became flesh, and it took part in our nature. In dry ground, there was neither life nor joy, however, the root. And it took part in our nature. In verse 2 there, it talks about the dry ground. There was neither life nor joy. However, we know that the root was there. And then we know that it's not normal for a sprout to appear in dry ground. The law of nature knows that the need demands moisture for germination. And the servant would come precisely from origin as strange as dry ground. And from a human viewpoint, this comparison is very appropriate. You know, what distinguished person was born in a stable? Who among the greatest men of earth was worked hard and conquered influence only by his integrity, character, and virtue? And this is what Christ had to work with. Isaiah 4, verses 4 through 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he did esteem himself stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every eye one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If we see that there, and there's many, many things there in those three verses there, you know. We see in this whole chapter the vicarious nature of Christ's suffering is emphasized on 11 points. He borne our grief. He has carried our sorrows. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was cut off from the land of the living. He was stricken for our transgressions. And we know that sinners are justified him, and he will carry their iniquities upon himself. What a Savior we serve. Jesus has done all this for us, for each one of us, that we might have life. The suffering was vicarious, it was voluntary, and it was in obedience of the Father, and it was for us all and for meditation. And we just need to continue to read as often as we can this chapter 53 and continue to study the Bible as we've never studied it before, especially about Jesus and what he has accomplished for us. There's so much that we're never going to know that Jesus has done for us. But God has given us enough knowledge and enough in the Word here so that we may know of him, and even nature testifies of him and of our God. He took upon himself our grief and our blame, and he carries their consequences upon us. He died for each one of us. And through his death, we know that mercy and justice will be kept also for that. He suffered in our place. We know that there's much suffering going on in this earth. As we was reading the study and the lesson today about anxiety and fear and worry, we fear and worry about all these things. But we cannot compare to what Christ has suffered for us and to make everything right one day. What assurance that we have that Jesus is coming again. He's going to collect his people, take them to heaven. We're going to spend 1,000 years there and then come down on this earth made new. We're going to be able to walk the streets of gold. We're going to be able to walk amidst the Garden of Eden in all of its glory, even more splendid than it was before. Things that we can't even, put our minds to that there. In The Desire of Ages, page 755 and 756, it is for thee that the Son of God consents to bear this burden of guilt. He, the Son-bearer, endures the wrath of divine justice, and for thy sake becomes sin itself. The guilt of every descendant of Adam was pressed upon his heart. Page 753. And I've still been trying to find out just what that IBID is. IBID. And nobody's been able to tell me or what it is, or whether it's one book or just what it is. And I'd like to know somebody, if they know what it pertains to, that they let me know. Verses 7 through 9. 7 through 9. He was opposed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Isaiah presents Jesus as obedient unto death. In the term, as a lamb, points out the victim's submission. He did not protect or defend himself. He emptied himself from his divinity. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. He fulfilled the prophecy about himself. He suffered for others. Matthew 26, 28. He was silenced before abuse. Matthew 26, 63 and Matthew 27, 12 through 14. He was counted among the transgressors. Mark 15, 27 and 28. Interceded for the transgressors. Luke 23, 34. And he shed his soul unto death, Matthew 27, 50. All that Jesus did for us, the suffering that he took upon himself so that we wouldn't have to suffer. And yet we worry and we fret every day about things mostly that we can't even control ourselves anyway, you know. But we have Jesus to look forward to for what he has done for each one of us. So it is there in verses 10 through 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And he's still interceding for us on our behalf in the heavenly sanctuary. He's up there now in the innermost holy place. And he's sitting at the right hand of God, where his rightful position is. And to know that he left heaven, left all the glory that he had there in heaven, to come down here to take on humanity so that we might live and to pay the price for that. You know, the battle for Satan's captives was very terrible, as we read and see what Jesus went through, suffering through that short period of life that he had here on this earth. But Satan tried to exalt himself to be like God. Jesus divested himself from everything. He humbled himself. And we pray that we take on that humility ourselves. He prospered despite his terrible humiliation. He prospered. He was willing to go through everything he went through for each one of us. Can we even think of that? What Christ done for each of us that we might have life. Seeing the fruit of his work in the conversion of the nations, and even he, through his work, he felt fully repaid by suffering for each one of us. And he sees the fruit of his labor because he knows that we will be in heaven with him. He's waiting for that day when he will be able to come and to collect his people. And I just pray that we are ready for that day. We need to be ready today, because we don't know whether it's coming tomorrow or the next day, just how soon Christ is coming. And yes, we know there's many prophecies yet to be fulfilled, and things to do it in the end of times. But as we see all the commotion and all the things that are going on in the world economically, you know, everything that's happening, you know, the wars and earthquakes and all these things that are happening, we know that the end is near. That's why we need to be prepared today. We need to study the life of our Savior, you know. He saw his crucifixion as a fulfillment of his prophecy. And that was a scripture meditation for today, Luke 22:37. For I say unto you that this is that is written must yet be accomplished. How great is a person's value to God? He sent his son to die for each one of us. In what will the Messiah find satisfaction? To have his children with him in eternity. We have that opportunity to be with Christ forever and ever. And it starts right now here on earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can have that conversion that we need, in that reliance upon Jesus and have him by our side right now. You know, he will be happy to meet and see the magnitude of the glory of his Father. You know, he rejoices in seeing the countless millions of people who seek him with honest faith and become new creatures. And I pray that we do have that honest faith, that we are his creatures today, that we have given our hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be him. And it pleases the Lord to save us. And we need to be thankful by accepting his salvation today. And I just pray that we do. We have accepted his salvation today, and that we can walk in his glory and not our own glory. We don't have any worries or frets because we know that Jesus is coming soon. And if we do pass away before that comes, we still have the great opportunity to be raised from our graves, from wherever we are, to be able to see Jesus coming in all of his glory. In the last, what is Zechariah 9:16. Zechariah 9:16. Zechariah 9:16. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. And so we just pray that we are being there also. But yes, another note from Ellen White. Christ looks upon his people in their purity and perfection. We have purity and perfection. I don't know if we feel that today or not, but Christ is telling us here that we do. And if, as the reward of all his suffering, we can have this purity and his perfection because of what Jesus has done and suffered for us, his humiliation and his love and the supplement of his glory. Christ, the great center from whom radiates all glory. And yes, we know that the glory comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. And I just pray that we all will be in the kingdom. We will all meet on a sea of glass one day soon and be presented to the Father. All the millions of people that are going to be there, and Christ is going to present each one of us to the Father. How long that's going to take, we don't know. But we know and have the assurance that we can be there. And we know that Christ has paid it all. And we'll end with that. Hymn number 184. Jesus paid it all. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Stop being anxious and watchful, for I am your God. I give you strength. I bring you help. I uphold you with my victorious right hand. Shall we pray? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we know that Jesus paid it all. And will we be studying it for eternity? Oh, the opportunities that we will have, Father, especially to be with Jesus. Thank you, Father, to be able to talk with the saints of old, with Abraham, with Isaac, and all the rest, Father. We just pray that we are ready for that, and we just ask for your guidance. We lay all of our cares and our woes upon Jesus, all of our fears and our worry. And we just truly have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming soon to collect each and every one of us so that we may be with him for eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen.